Right, OTB is back for another series of in-depth chats with some of the biggest names in Premier League and Irish football history. We're going to have behind-the-scenes access, talking to some legendary names from the biggest clubs. We'll also meet the crucial people behind the scenes who make a Premier League club what it is. It's all in association with Cadbury FC, official global partner of Arsenal Football Club. Check out cadburyfc.com for updates on promotions and giveaways. And I'm delighted to say Katie McCabe is with us. Katie, we've been talking to Robert Pires about his time at Arsenal, and he mentioned he'd been at training sessions with Mikel Arteta, and he was very impressed by what he's seen. Are you guys given access to that kind of stuff? Is it just happening in the background when you're there on a day-to-day basis anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've only seen one session, and we were kind of walking by going up to ours. Obviously, clash of schedules and training at different times, games at different times. Plays a part in that. But when they are training, I do like to obviously keep an eye on what they're doing. I think it's... it's pretty cool. Obviously, seeing an elite level of footballer and footballers at their best, and up close and personal as training. So I do. If we can, I do kind of keep an eye on it. But mostly there's a clash of schedules in there, so it's not really possible.
And is there much crossover in terms of staff and even the backroom teams and access to medical and physio and strength and conditioning and all that kind of stuff, or do they tend to be completely separate?
Well, we obviously have our group of staff, and so do they. We would share maybe the gym. So it's our kind of performance centre, which has recently been built a few years ago. So they'd have access to that. So would we. Pools, etc. But in terms of staff, we'd have our own, and so would they.
Has any of that changed over the last number of years since you've arrived at Arsenal? Just because obviously the WSL seems to have... It hasn't exploded, but it certainly put the formal footing of women's football in England at a much higher level. TV coverage, all the deals that we've seen happen. I wonder, has that the relationship with the parent club, has that changed significantly in the last couple of years as well?
Yeah, I think it's improved. Obviously, as you said, the trajectory of the women's game and how fast it's grown over here and worldwide, really. I think that opens a lot of eyes. And in terms of obviously what we do at Arsenal, there has been conversations with ourselves and obviously some of the head guys to see and get feedback on how we can improve on what we have and build towards the future, because, it is grown at a rapid pace. We obviously need to prepare as best we can for that.
Because we're also speaking with Gerry Flannery, who Irish people really know as now a rugby coach with Harlequins and in his time a brilliant dynamic rugby international. He spent time at Arsenal, and just listening to him talk about the level of backroom staff that they have for the academy and the quality of coaching and discussions that are going on around sports science, it's the type of thing that you can inject into a sport really quickly if the mindset is there and the willingness to share is there within an organisation. So it's good to hear that there is access and a bit of crossover and certainly conversations happening for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we've got a great Irish company in StatSports as well on board with the club, which provide all our GPS data, which is obviously comes in our training sessions, what kind of distances you cover, what high-speed running metrics you do. So working closely with them the last few years has been great, and it gives us that extra edge and maybe that extra percentage in how we perform on field as well. But like you said, it's grown so fast, and we've got the best of the best at Arsenal to help us perform.
You're part of a generation who are kind of trailblazing, particularly the full-time footballers. It wasn't really an option for many people in the past who were the best young female footballers in Ireland to go off. And obviously, Anna Bryan did go and play football around Europe, but there haven't been a huge amount of them. So with that in mind, are you already thinking about what life is like after football? Because it's not a clear pathway, and, you're not going to be able to retire off the back of your next contract totally. Is that something you're thinking about?
With the way the women's game has gone, I can't believe you're retiring me so early as well. I've still got a few years left in me. but on a serious note, I'm doing actually currently my UEFA B coaching license with the FAI, which is great. So that'll really steer me in the direction of possibly coaching one day. Which could be exciting. Obviously you kind of have to have one eye on what you're going to do post-career. Maybe you'll see a Coach McCabe in the future, who knows. I'll have to wait and see.
Well, it makes sense that your generation will be the ones who end up taking over, because you and your cohorts have really had the opportunity to live and breathe football in a way that the generation before you didn't quite have. And look, there's not a whole heap of full-time professional Irish women playing football at the moment. So it's important that the game is appealing enough after football finishes playing to give you that pathway.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, coming into the professional aspect, you always want to leave the game in a better place than when you inherit it. I think that's up to us as female footballers to do so. I know the FA are doing great things over in the UK, and we've had our own sort of great limelight over in the Women's League in Ireland as well, and even at a national team point of view. So I think everyone's pulling in the right direction, which is great, and that we can, we're obviously going in a good way going forward.
Because when you start playing football, like, properly, and thinking I'm going to make this my career, you probably didn't volunteer at the same time to be a trailblazer and to be an icon and to be a leader and to, like, think, oh, geez, I might be part of a group that has to go on strike or go public about stuff. Like, did that just come naturally to you, or was this always along the way going, well, why wouldn't I just say all these things? Why wouldn't I just be myself?
Having the people around us, I think, to do so, is so important. Where you're in a safe environment with your team. Obviously, you talk about the strike. We had a great leader back then in Emma Brun, and I trusted her to do obviously the right thing at the time. And then she retires eventually enough to step into her shoes one day as captain of Ireland. And most recently, obviously, we've hit the equal pay mark with the FAI and the men's team. So it is. It's obviously, not what you think of when you're growing up and wanting to be a professional footballer. But we have platforms as professional athletes. And I think it's important we use it in a progressive way.
We're here obviously talking about Arsenal, and you bring up Emma Byrne, and her career is kind of ridiculous. It's like it's an all-time great.
It's a joke.
As far as I remember, I read this somewhere that you were inspired to become a professional footballer watching her on TV one time. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It was one of the only games once a year. It was probably on the TV, and I was a little bit younger. I think I was like 12 or 13 perhaps, and my dad kind of turned the FA Cup final on, and Arsenal were playing Everton, and there was a couple of Irish players playing in it, which was Emma Byrne, Ciara Grant, I think Yvonne Tracy was playing in it as well. And I just thought, I'd love to do that. So I actually ended up going and seeing a senior Irish game in Inchicore. They played in Inchicore at the time, a few weeks later, and met her. She always gets embarrassed when I tell her the story face to face because shows her age. But got her autograph, and I just thought that's what I want to do. So it was that visibility back then was so important, even though it was that one game a year. To think now we're playing week in, week out on Sky Sports and RTE back home, I think it's just so important for young girls growing up to look at that.
And TG Carr with the WSL as well.
Yeah, for sure.
When you think about it, though, like, her involvement in your career as somebody who inspires you at the start, and then, I don't know if she helped broker the move or certainly is talking to the people at Arsenal about this young talent in Ireland that they need to get their hands on. And for you to kind of dream of this, and then for her to be a central figure in you getting a dream move to Arsenal, that's mad. That's kind of lottery style, Hollywood. You write this stuff and no one believes it.
Yeah, no, as you said, you couldn't write it. For me to obviously see her on the TV, meet her a few weeks later in person, and then she helped me kind of break into the Ireland senior team and get the move over to Arsenal at the time. I know she would have had close contact with Pedro, the manager, back when I originally signed, to get me over, because I had a few games at the Ireland senior team in our Euro qualifiers. And yeah, then to be playing with her, for her to help me kind of settle in over there, settle in on the move. Yeah, I owe a lot to her. She's a great role model of mine. And most recently, she was at the Barcelona game where we played in the Champions League over there. So yeah, it was nice to catch up with her.
It's a pretty remarkable story. And I think, like, the fact that you have that experience and you're paying forward when it comes to fighting for equal pay, like, it seems to me like the culture in the team and the culture of the people who are coming through is a really strong, positive culture about getting what you want and getting what you need and doing it in a way that is helpful to people. You know, no one's pulling the ladder up after them.
Yeah, no, exactly. As I spoke about, obviously, the strike we had a couple of years ago, and Emma shown our leadership qualities at the time, and we done it in such a dignified way, with the help of the PFAI at the time as well. So for us to obviously continue that, I think it's important to not forget what everyone's done before us. And then obviously for younger players coming up to appreciate that and maintain it. And as you said, keep progressing the game on and keep building it.
There was one other thing that I really wanted just to get into you properly with. A lot of Irish footballers particularly have setbacks in their careers at various stages. And for whatever reason, we seem to be a culture that you either come through and you're a superstar at 17 or 18, like Damien Duff and Robbie Keane, or we're a country that provides a lot of late bloomers. And you're kind of in between. You were obviously very, very talented at a young age, but then you get your move to Arsenal and for whatever reason, it doesn't work out straight away. I'm really interested in that period of time when the move to Glasgow comes up, because now you're one of the best players in the WSL, but that must have been a really seminal moment in terms of it's a character test. It's a test of your desire to keep going. And it's also something that, you know, if you come through, you're going to be really stronger for it. So what's that actually like for you when the move to Glasgow first comes up? Are you in favour of it straight away? Or are you like, ooh, geez, lads, this doesn't look good?
Yeah, as you said, it was the dream move initially. I got moving from Shelbourne to Arsenal. Picture perfect. And then obviously you get there and suddenly you're turning up to training day in, day out with these world-class players and real legends of the game. We talk about now Emma Byrne, Kelly Smith, Alex Scott, Casey Stoney. Farrah Williams, they were all there. I was training with them week in, week out. And it's difficult to get into the squad at that time. Obviously, I didn't play a lot initially, so I was just trying to train and work hard and learn my trade. Initially I'd signed a 2-year deal and a year and a half kind of came up, but I still wasn't getting a lot of game time. And I was a very important player at the time for Ireland. And I had a conversation with Colin Bell as well. Thought it was best to get out on loan. And Glasgow, lo and behold, picked me up. I knew it was an important stage for Glasgow City's stage in their season. They were coming into some Champions League games. They were coming up to the end of their title run as well and had some cup games too. So it was going to be a real crucial part of their season.
And so did you go to Arsenal and say, here, listen, I need to play football and it would be good for all of us if I got some football? Or did they come to you and say, geez, Katie, you know, you need to get some football here? How did that work?
It was probably me that initiated it. They obviously wanted to keep me and obviously keep training. But I thought I need to go out and play. As I said, we were going into a World Cup qualifying campaign with Ireland, and I needed minutes going into it because I knew how important it was going to be. And then obviously, as I said, Glasgow City, and I really fell back in love with football up there. The people, the place, the girls and the club itself was a real joy to play for, and was very proud to represent Glasgow City at the time. And obviously, football changes so quickly. I came back to a new manager, which was Joe Montemurro, and kind of lifted off from there.
And what were those conversations when you get back? Are you coming in saying, because I think you're kind of very close to being out of contract when you get back from Glasgow, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I was, I think I had 2 weeks left on my contract, and Joe Montemurro, it was 2 weeks before the Christmas break, so I had 2 weeks of training. And yeah, I just trained, and after the 2 weeks, Joe had kind of pulled me in and said he wanted to offer me a contract extension to the summer.
Right.
And the rest is history, as they say. I'm still here all those years later. I'm absolutely loving my football. So you could say Joe Montemurro kind of gave me that olive branch, if you like, and he instilled that belief in me to kind of, get going and show what I can do for Arsenal.
What position did you play in Glasgow?
You're stretching my mind now. I think I was left winger. Yeah, I think I was on the wing. I wasn't a converted left back just yet.
And did you play well in Glasgow? Was that the other thing that happened? Like, you kind of find your form again?
Yeah, absolutely. Scott Booth, the manager at the time, close conversations with him. Obviously, he wanted to work on, as I said, we were tying up a league campaign for them, a cup win and Champions League football. So it was important for me to kind of get going and bring my experience that I had from down south into his team. And he thought I could do that week in, week out, which was, it worked for both of us in the end.
It's funny how that run of games and that confidence and then actually going back with a story to tell and I don't, you know, not to sound too weird about it, but like lived life, you know, like you could have, you could have gone to training and trained and trained and trained and trained and trained. And maybe if no injuries happen, you don't get into the Arsenal team and you haven't actually learned anything. Whereas actually you go and, you know, you've got to find somewhere to live in Glasgow. You've got to do all those things that you're out of your comfort zone, but you still produce football at the same time. That's the type of thing I suspect that the new manager comes in and goes, well, what have you been doing for the last 6 months? Oh, you know, playing successfully at a high level. And did it give you confidence even just in how you dealt with him when you were having those conversations saying, look, I've got 2 weeks left here. What's going to happen next?
Yeah. Well, actually, initially, it was planned that I was moving on. Obviously, nothing was signed, sealed and delivered. But yeah, initially, I was going to be moving on to another club. And that's when obviously Joe got me in and was like, where were you the last 6 months? And I told him and offered the extension and that was that.
That's a real sliding doors moment, isn't it? It's like, well, now you're playing the best football of your career a couple of years later. And like, what do you put down the form and the development, like to the bit where now first name on the team sheets, when they sign loads of players in your position, it's like, yeah, actually, I'm still going to play loads of games here and I'm still going to be one of the most important players and player of the month. Where do you put that quality of performance down to? When did that evolve?
I think the learnings I had over that 2 year period initially when I first came, when you go over to a club like Arsenal, you don't just get given the shirt and get given the starting 11 place. You need to earn it. And the learnings I had up in Glasgow City about working hard and staying consistent and being present in every session. And really just downright hard work and doing it over a consistent amount of time. Those sort of learnings really helped shape me as a player and as a person. And from literally the day I got back down to London, I've been trying to just do that consistently, day in, day out, which has got me to where I am now. I'm always looking to improve, especially over those kind of pre-season periods where we have time to kind of work on different things. And as I said, the staff we have at Arsenal is terrific, which obviously helps me can get that bit fitter, get that bit faster, improve technically and obviously maintain where I'm at, but also looking to improve on it.
It's funny that consistency, that's the almost exactly verbatim what we had heard from Robert Pires when he was talking about the good quality football comes from doing it week in, week out on the training ground and working really hard. And his message to all the young players watching was work, 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 work. So it's funny that you both have ended up being super successful on the left side of the pitch Arsenal.
It's a cliche, but it works. The mentality you need to have to be able to do that. It takes time, but once you get it right, it's enjoyable and you just enjoy your football.
We were talking with him as well about the weight of the shirt. He specifically was talking about the French team, but it did feel like certainly the men's team over the last while, the Arsenal way was too much for some of those players in recent seasons to bear, and it looks like they're getting back on track. From the women's team, I presume the style of play that they're trying to get to is as entertaining and as beautiful and as crisp as the Wenger era stuff. So if everybody's playing well, it must be the most exciting thing in the world to be part of.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're in the moments and you're playing free-flowing football and scoring goals and helping the team get those 3 points, that's why you do it. You do it for the love of the game and the enjoyment. It's why you start when you're that kid growing up. Then to be able to do it, especially in an Arsenal shirt with essentially your teammates around you as well, is pretty special. It's down to a lot of the hard work the staff put in pre-season to help get those kind of patterns of football embedded into us. And it's up to us as players to then produce that on the pitch.
And how are you getting better at the moment? What do you feel like you need to do more of?
It's a good question. It depends where I'm on the pitch. It depends if I'm left wing or left back. If I'm left back, don't concede goals, and left wing, I need to be scoring and assisting. So, yeah, whichever way I'm starting, to be honest.
It sounds like you've actually totally, and this isn't just the thing you're telling us, but that you've totally embraced the fact that you're going to get minutes at both these positions at various stages over the rest of your career. And you don't really, I mean, so everybody always says, oh, you know, when we ask, oh, I've no favourite position, I just want to get picked. Is this true for you, or are you still actually not telling us the truth?
I'm telling you the truth. I don't mind. Either or is fine with me. To be honest, I think they're quite similar. When you're playing left back, you have to defend and you have to get up and attack. And then when you're playing on the wing, you have to attack and then help back, defend. So, yeah, it's a pretty similar position for me. So I don't mind, either one.
So you're the perfect blend of Robert Pirro and Matthew Cole. It's not a bad combination.
Yeah, I know. It's not too bad.
No, it's gone great. Katie, it's been brilliant talking to you. Thanks a million for making the time for us. And just keep it up, because, like, I keep banging on about the relationship that you had with Emma. Like, you're going to have that relationship with hundreds of young girls who are aged between 8 and 14 who are going to go on to have full-time professional careers because you've shown them how to do it. It's an incredible thing to be in the middle of, and it feels like we're only getting started. So keep it up.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
It's Katie McCabe there, Ireland captain, and of course, stalwart on the current Arsenal team who are riding high in the WSL. We're here thanks to Cadbury FC, official global partner of Arsenal Football Club. You can also check out cadburyfc.com for updates on promotions and giveaways. And make sure you stay tuned to all our social channels for more of this goodness coming your way soon. Cheers.